This is a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Asking our committee this year, we'll have Sherry Hochschild. Sherry, delighted to be working with you. I think, as you'll quickly discover, as chair, I need virtually all the help I can possibly get. And our LRC staffer is David Ortbaum, and I think David is going to help us through some of the screens and some of the microphones, some of this uppity new technology that we have. David, you want to help us and tell us what we have before us?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a few things. The technology is actually pretty simple to use. There's just a couple of things I wanted you to be aware of. For the monitors in front of you, there's a switch. So it's on the right side underneath that little white button. There should be a button underneath there that you'd have to push to put the monitors on. The other thing is the mics. There are five cameras in this room, two in front of us, two behind us, and then there's one that is just in front of the chair that focuses on the testifier. The key thing with the cameras is the cameras are connected with the mics, so it's important that you use your mics when you speak and also to turn them off when you're done. So if you can just kind of keep that in mind, I think everything will go okay. But that's kind of the two important things for the committee to remember. One thing you might keep in mind, too, as we get into the session and you have people come in to testify, we have capabilities where people can hook up their laptop computers so that they can make PowerPoint presentations that will appear on the screens in front of you and will appear on the screens out in the audience up above and then behind us, so everybody can see those. We also have DVD and VHS capabilities. And also there is a projector at the witness stand where people can take hard copy. For instance, if they have amendments on a hard piece of paper, they can just put it on there. Everybody would be able to see it. Everybody in the audience would be able to see what the amendment is. And so it might cut down on some of the handouts that we would have to make. So that's in a brief nutshell the technology that we have. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to try to respond.
Any questions for Mr. Orpon? With that, I'll ask the Secretary to call the roll.
Senator Abdullah? Here. Hansen?
Heidefrim? Here.
Knudsen?
Here.
Olson?
Here.
Roden?
Here.
Turbachberry?
Here.
Gray?
Here.
And Dempster?
Yep. Thank you very much. We have no minutes to approve. Just as a quick, we have a couple of bills up this morning. For those of you who are testifying on the bills, please be so kind as to sign in at the back of the room. I was just sitting next to a committee secretary in the committee meeting that I just came from. I can't tell you how important it is that you both sign up and write legibly. David, thank you for reminding me that I need to sign on to the internet. With that, we'll move, I think, fairly quickly through our limited agenda this morning. Senate Bill 63. Do we have proponents of 63? Mr. Johnson, you are welcome here.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I am Dusty Johnson, serve as Chairman of the Public Utilities Commission, and if it's all right with you, Mr. Chairman, because of the similarity of the two bills before you this morning, I'd like to make some introductory comments about how they got before you.
As you please.
Great, wonderful. Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, let's start by putting some things in perspective. Collectively, every year, we spend $1 billion in the state on electricity and natural gas. So a 5% reduction would mean an extra $50 million into South Dakota's economy. The bad news is that South Dakota does really a not very good job of saving energy. The American Council for an Energy Efficient Economy ranked us 47th out of 50 states for our energy-saving efforts. In an attempt to make our state a little more efficient, in 2007, 36 different organizations and agencies and businesses came together to brainstorm. How do we, as South Dakotans, save energy and do it in a way that's consistent with South Dakota's values? And that value piece is pretty important. I mean, you look at other states. And in fact, most states have mandatory energy efficiency building codes. South Dakota is one of only 3 states that doesn't have mandatory commercial codes, and one of only 10 states that doesn't have mandatory residential codes. And of course, those codes work. They do save energy. But the South Dakota Energy Smart Group wasn't sure that broad mandates were really where we wanted to go. We thought that perhaps more of a South Dakota approach would be to provide consumers information, and then consumers can decide how much value they place on energy-efficient construction or equipment. So really, that's what these two bills do, Mr. Chairman. Consumers can make whatever decision they want, but they have the benefit of easily accessible information. All right, you're probably asking, has this concept worked at any other time? And I'd give you 2 quick examples, cars and food. You can buy whatever cereal you want, but on the side of the box is nutritional information. You can buy whatever car you want, but on the window is fuel efficiency information. So let's talk specifically about Senate Bill 63. You know, this is a long bill, and I think that's a little misleading, because there are only a few lines on pages 9 and 10 that are changed. The rest of the bill is already the law of the land. Today, anytime you or I or anybody else goes to buy an existing home, we get a 5 or a 6 page disclosure statement telling us important information about the home. All that this bill would do is add 3 types of basic information to that form. First, does the home have Energy Star equipment? An Energy Star is just a federal certification for efficient equipment, and if you've got more questions about that, I'd be happy to answer them. Second type of information, does the home meet one or more energy efficiency standards? The standards in this bill are widely used and respected, and again, I'd be happy to answer questions about those if you've got them. And finally, what's the recent energy usage at the house? Of course, providing 12 months of utility information is standard operating procedure for your good real estate agents in this state, so I can't imagine this would create much of a burden. Here's something that I think is important. The existing disclosure form already asks about your water heater. It already asks about your air conditioner. It already asks about your furnace. It already asks at least one energy efficiency question about insulation in the home. This bill makes an important but not a revolutionary change. Some might argue that the form should only include the most important safety and legal information. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the form currently asks if your intercom system is broken. It asks the last time you cleaned your wood stove, and it asks whether or not you'll be taking the towel racks with you when you move. Certainly, some questions are more important than others. And similarly, some approaches toward problem solving are better than others. Most states have mandates, and they work really well. But if you're like me, you think giving consumers good information is a better way to help them make good decisions. There's a lot of uncertainty in the future. That's what I'll close with. I don't know where tomorrow's energy is coming from. I don't know whether or not it's going to be affordable. And even today, more than 1 in 10 South Dakotans can't pay their utility bills. I think given those factors, adding these few lines of questions to the existing disclosure questions would be good policy. Thank you for your time, and obviously I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Senate Bill 63, other proponents? Senate Bill 63, other proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Steve Willard. I'm the executive director and registered lobbyist for the electric utility companies. Thank you. And I won't repeat any of Commissioner Johnston's testimony. All I would add is that as far as the disclosures go, there's about 100 questions, and I'm kind of with Dusty. You can argue the merits about some of the questions. Let me tell you why the questions that have been added are topical as a home buyer. Now, 19 years in Pier, we came and bought a house. We've gone with a second house, so we've gone through this disclosure process, as many of you. But what it doesn't tell you on the form is that the questions that are asked are about your appliances and are about your heating and cooling system. that without giving you the long version, traditionally the numbers they use is about 44-45% of your energy bill is going to be related to your heating and cooling system in your house. About 20% of your energy bill is going to be related to the appliances in that house. So if you're making a value decision about the home, whether you're buying or selling, and you're trying to equate value to those questions account for about two-thirds of your energy costs. So for me, as a buyer or as a seller, those questions have much more relevance than to some of the other questions on the form. Yes, it's an inconvenience, but it's not much of an inconvenience with high value and high impact. So with that, I'll be available for questions as well.
Senate Bill 63, other proponents? Other proponents? Questions, members of the committee? Questions for any of the proponents? Senator Olson.
I have a question for
that's a good question, Senator. That really stems more from Senate Bill 64 than it does from anything. If this committee and if both chambers were to pass Senate Bill 64, then you would have as a voluntary code the 2006 IECC. Well, what in the world is that? And that's the International Efficiency, or rather Energy Conservation Code. And that's very widely respected. It is really the most commonly used standard for states as far as what determines what is energy efficient with regard to home construction. I think if you were to pass Senate Bill 64, if the legislature were, if it becomes a law of the land, then I think you're going to have people, that standard's going to be met, and you'll have that on the new home disclosure form. It'd be nice to have that information carried over to existing construction so people can understand the value.
Commissioner Johnson, Energy Star certified appliances, water heater and so forth, how easy is that for me to determine whether or not mine qualify?
Yeah, and in talking with a couple of you, I think, you know, next to the bill length, the question about Energy Star probably raised the most concern. We've addressed the bill length, so I'll address Energy Star a little bit. The reason we chose that standard, out of the fact that it's a federal government standard, is because it's so easy to identify. This is the Energy Star logo. This is on the side of my water heater. And for every Energy Star certified piece of equipment or appliance, this would be on the side of it. If it doesn't have it, it's not certified. The nice thing about this form is it allows somebody to mark unknown. If this were to at some point become peeled or ripped off or they just were unsure, mark unknown. And of course, the form doesn't ask for perfect information. It asks for information based on your knowledge and belief. It does have that caveat at the end. One other thing I might mention about Energy Star, somebody asked me a couple of weeks ago, well, is this, you know, limit me to three water heaters? I mean, is this going to tell me basically I can buy this or I can buy this? Well, last night I went and I was just curious, how many water heaters? And there are like five different types of water heaters, but I just wanted one type of water heater. So tell me how many high-efficiency gas storage water heaters they are. And this is almost infinitesimally small type, and there were six pages of water heaters you can buy. I went and asked about furnaces. And if you can believe it, there were 99,206 models of furnaces that appear as though they meet the Energy Star certification. Not furnace units, I'm talking models. And so I think it is a very widely accepted and regarded standard.
One other question, Commissioner. I'm assuming that anything older than a couple of years is going to be not, I mean, the Energy Star system is fairly recent. Is that correct?
Thanks for the question. It's actually 1992 is when it was started by the federal government. Now, they didn't roll out all of their certifications for all equipment in 1992. They sort of phased that in. They started actually with computers and worked into other things. They probably got most heavily into the kind of equipment we're talking about in the mid-1990s. Now, that being said, what was certified as an Energy Star water heater in 1996 probably wouldn't be today. there certainly have continued to be technological improvements.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to pose a couple questions to you. We had a discussion earlier today in where you clarified that the first seven pages are existing language. Didn't change the fact, however, though, my questions were all in regard to some of the statements and some of the lack of some common sense questions that I would have expected to see in here. And I think it's accurate to say that you agreed that maybe there was some questions that were kind of omitted and that it maybe wasn't that well crafted in the first place. But it brings a question to me as I looked through this and continue to have the questions existing from the original form and I'll just pose it this way. Do you think that maybe we would be heading in a better direction to maybe look at this a little more holistic rather than adding language to a form that already appears to me to be somewhat flawed to go back and address this from front to back, bring the interested parties together and fix it rather than just add to it?
If I might, Mr. Chairman. I think it's an intriguing idea, and I'll tell you, I think you'll hear in a little bit that I suspect that the realtors are not, you know, fully supportive of the concept. But despite that fact, I would tell you that it's been, I've enjoyed working with them on this. I mean, I think I have a greater appreciation for how they view this disclosure statement and how difficult the job of a real estate agent or realtor is. I don't think widespread holistic changes of this form could probably be undertaken very quickly. And obviously you'd want to get lots of information. You know, we started our dialogue with the realtors months ago because we knew this was an important topic. And similarly, Senator, I think if you wanted to start from scratch, that's probably something that would best be done between now and the 2010 session. In the interim, I might ask that this language would move forward because I do think it's important enough where I wouldn't want it to get lost while we work on something bigger.
Commissioner John, I do have a question. Mm-hmm. I remember reading somewhere earlier this year, and the question posed was, if you were interested in reducing your carbon footprint, are you better off buying a new hybrid car or keeping your old beater? And the answer is, because there's so much carbon produced in the production of a new car, you're actually better off keeping your old beater. Question would go to fuel efficiency appliances. Am I better off keeping my old appliances, or am I better off buying new appliances if I'm interested in fuel efficiency, because of course there'd be so much fuel consumed in the production of those new appliances?
The simple question, in my opinion, Mr. Chairman, would be that you'd be better off buying the energy efficiency appliances for at least a couple of different reasons. You know, first off, the home is a very energy intensive instrument. Your home produces more than twice as much or uses more than twice as much energy and so emits more than twice as much CO2 as your car does. Secondly, the replacement schedule for many of these pieces of equipment are more often than your car. I, much to the chagrin of my wife, drive a Ford Taurus with almost 180,000 miles. My water heater probably should be replaced about every 7 to 10 years. And so I think the important thing is when we get to those times where consumers want to make investment decisions, let's give them some sense that they may be able to recoup the additional $50 they might spend on an energy-efficient water heater, because there's going to be full disclosure to the consumer that something of value has been added to the home. Also, one factor, many of the cars we buy in this country, lots of the parts, if not the entire automobile, are shipped from overseas. That obviously adds to the energy intensity of that piece of equipment. More of the piece of equipment we're talking about here are constructed in the United States. Certainly parts are shipped in from overseas, but maybe not quite as much as automobiles, but that's not really my area of expertise, but that'd be my guess.
Other questions for proponents? Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Opponents of Senate Bill 63. Opponents of Senate Bill 63? As you please. Dean will have a page to that.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Dean Krogman, I represent South Dakota Association of Realtors.
Welcome, Mr. Krogman.
Thank you. What I'm handing out is, even though the bill is 11 pages, what you're getting is a property disclosure statement that is actually used in the marketplace. It's 3 pages, very small print, and I can tell you the sellers don't appreciate having to fill this out. They are the ones who have to fill it out. And the reason for the property, there's about, I'm going to say, 45 states that have some form of property disclosure, 5 have none. I can't tell you the hours that have been spent on rewording it. In fact, 2 years ago we brought it before the legislature because we tried, the number one reason, we spent a full year going over this statement and with the main intent to get rid of unknown. Because everybody was filling it out unknown. Okay, where you can't, certainly there are some statements on there that you can't say unknown on, and certainly they comply with that. The second form that I handed out is an information sheet. That's the marketing sheet for every piece of property. You'll note on there, on that particular one, there is a monthly cost average for gas and utilities. Then you'll see also the amenities. Appliances are incidental to the sale of real property. They sometimes are included, sometimes not, because sometimes the seller wants to keep them and sometimes the buyers don't want it. So it's incidental. In this case, in this town, what they do is transfer personal property with a bill of sale for $1. It is separate from the transfer of real property. Our association did meet with Commissioner Johnson. We absolutely have no dispute with what his intent is, and that is to educate the consumer. Our point is that this is not the right way to do it. It is a property disclosure statement that is specific to conditions of the property. People buy homes when they decide to make an offer. They want to know the furnace is working. They're not going to decide to replace the furnace because of Energy Star. They want to know that the cooling system is working. And that's what the disclosure does. They have no, we just had an incident in Brookings 2 days after it closes, after there is a building inspector, the basement caves in. I mean, you have things like that happen. Furnaces go out, and whether it's Energy Star or not, we have no problem disseminating information about energy. We do it right on now. We have about 5 different forms, whether you're buying or selling, that you end up having to sign. We would be very happy to do that. We think this is flawed for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's not the condition of any part of the property. Number two, I think there are unintended consequences. The question of the 2006 edition of the International Building Code, in our statute, it says the governing body, which is the local governments, can amend any part or modify or delete. And I would submit that Sioux Falls has their own building code, which is tougher, from what I hear, than the 2006 International Building Code. So when you answer that question, ask yourself what you just did. It doesn't apply to any place in Sioux Falls if that local code is in fact different. So why would we put it into statute? We have in statute today 1110-5 that we accept that 2006 edition, but it is only for reference, because local governments control the building codes. Let me talk just for a little bit about Energy Star itself. Energy Star on the internet, and this is what they have on the internet. They state that EPA has also extended the label to cover new homes and commercial and industrial buildings. They cover appliances, heating. They have a home envelope That is what, with the reference to the homes that we have here, but they also state, this is a quote from the internet, "It is unlikely existing homes will be able to qualify unless they are part of a gut rehab." That means tearing everything out. It is unlikely. So why would we put a question in the code? And then there's another aspect from their own numbers. They have posted successes in the last 10 years. In 2007, October 2007, customized recommendations for improving energy efficiency and comfort at home through the new Energy Star Home Advisor. 2008, January, a year ago, Energy Star qualified CFL sales to only 20% of the market. The unintended consequence of using Energy Star, not their products, it's not the products, they're a standard. The unintended consequence is something that we have never done in this code, and that is to endorse products that are certified, because that is the unintended consequence of using the term Energy Star. The second part of that, although it may be tough, but think about it, if it's your home you're listing. First of all, Energy Star says it's very unlikely that any one of you have an Energy Star home, so you have to check no. But you might have to check it out. You're going to have to check that, and then the thought is, anybody that looks at that, if they don't have it, is it possible that they're thinking this home isn't up to standard and therefore worth less? And I don't think that impression, I don't think anybody wants that impression. It is very unlikely that it could be Energy Star. Energy Star has only 20% of the market. I put a 50-year roof on my house, paid $5,000 for it. I don't know if it's Energy Star. I know it's quality. But are you telling me that because Energy Star has now put in roof products that my home is not as good? Now, we can make those arguments, but the basic premise is, why would we put that standard in the code when there's 80% of the market out there may or may not? Well, according to their own statement, only 20% of the market is theirs. Should we put into code that every appliance should be UL approved for safety? It would be the same principle. And I, again, we will do anything to help out on the information side. We believe the fact that this is a disclosure statement, that people don't look at the disclosure statement until they're serious about looking at the house. I can tell you, we can do 5 to 10 times better job of getting information to the public by making it available to everybody that looks at the house, not the ones that are buying. I would say that's almost a 10-to-1 ratio of disseminating information to the consumer. And they might even not buy a house and go home and you know, think about what they have for their own energy, which is what the commissioner said he wants to accomplish. Again, we don't disagree with that. We would love to be part of the energy dissemination of information, but we think it's the wrong way to do it, and we think putting Energy Star as a name into the code would be a mistake. We would appreciate you not supporting the legislation. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Goldman.
There's one other thing I wanted to mention. Sorry. We have approximately 3,000 listings, residential. Now, remember, residential is the only group that has to do this statement. We have 3,000 of them, approximately, in this state. If we change one word on this disclosure, every one of those existing disclosures has to be replaced on July 1. When the new one comes due. And the other point I wanted to make, again, what Energy Star said, we have just accomplished 4,200 buildings in the nation. We have 3,000 listings. We say it's unlikely that anyone would comply. Why would we ask the question again? Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Copeland.
Any questions?
Other opponents of Senate Bill 63? Other opponents of Senate Bill 63? Questions for Mr. Copeland? Senator Trevette-Berry.
Dean, you indicated that the questions are about real property that's not part of the property sold. Do you seriously contend that people take their water heater, their furnace, or their air conditioner with them when they sell their house, or that buyers don't consider furnaces, water heaters, and air conditioners part of the property they're buying?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Of course, they expect that to be there. That was my point in saying their expectation is that they work, not that they're not going to decide not to buy that house because they think it's not energy efficient. But appliances that are a lot of what Energy Star endorsed, you're talking the majority of that 20%, you know, being the stoves and commercial mostly. That's what they started in, was commercial and just starting in the homes. But no, obviously, I don't think they're going to make a decision based on it being Energy Star or not, but they do want it working.
Senator.
You also said that you folks would do anything, to get the information out there.
Did I say it twice?
Would you include those questions on your standard MLS form? Or the answers to those questions on your standard MLS form?
Well, that would be, you know, if it was mandatory. I don't think we want to start putting mandatory into marketing pieces. I mean, that's...
My question is what you meant. When you said you would do anything voluntarily, will you put that information on your MLS?
That would be up to each office whether they wanted to.
So you really don't know if you guys would do anything or not. I mean,
Yeah, we have said, and we told Commissioner Johnson that we would even help pay for the brochure that we make available in our office. I think that's, well, anything. Would we want to put it on the form? No, we don't want it. If you could apply anything to this bill, obviously the answer is, I'm sorry I said anything. What we specifically will do, because we don't want it in this bill, and that's anything. But we will work with pamphlets. That has been stated.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Krogman, you heard the question I asked the commissioner earlier. As far as my concerns about the form, sounds like maybe you have some concerns about the current language. I guess when I read the in this disclosure, this disclosure is required by law. If you do not understand the form, seek legal advice. It almost made me chuckle because I would hate to see that on a form before I start down that road.
The attorneys wanted that.
Yeah. Would you agree with the assessment that it might be a better approach to maybe readdress this whole form, and if you were going to go down the road of adding to the form rather than doing that, just doing it a more holistic approach and rewriting the form, bring the interested parties together and rewrite the form? And if so, would your organization support that idea and be willing to work in that direction?
Mr. Chairman, we spent, I said a year, and I think it might have been a year and a half that a group of realtors went over this whole form. And it is not a perfect form. We admit that. I mean, we have things in there that are not physical. Oh, I say condition of estate of the property, but we have statements in there for stigmatized property. And you know, it seems like that's you shouldn't have it. But at the same time, we have spent over the years and been back several times. And what has brought us back is what comes up from the consumers, where we found out that we didn't have that disclosure, and it became an issue in the sale. And so we have corrected this four or five times. Most recently, I believe it was 2 years ago. To say we're not interested, absolutely not. But what this form consists of are issues that we really have dealt with pertaining to condition.
Thank you, Mr. Corbin.
Thank you.
Commissioner Johnson, opportunity for rebuttal.
I might just add two quick things. I don't think the amendments or our bill really deals with a lot of the incidentals. And in fact, the existing form, as the Senator pointed out, already asked questions about water heaters and furnaces and air conditionings. And secondly, I do think we should do more education at the front end. Of course, they're not mutually exclusive. I mean, we can do both. We can have this form be a legal record of what the home has, as well as work with the realtors, which we're happy to do to educate the consumers throughout the process. Thanks.
Close for committee discussion and or action. Close for committee discussion and or action. Do I hear a motion?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator.
I move to pass.
We have a do pass motion from Senator Olson. We have a second from Senator Trumbull Berry. We have a motion. We have a second. The motion is do pass. Is there discussion? We have a motion. We have a second. It is a do pass motion.
I'm disappointed. I understand the inconvenience to the realtors of working to change the form, but it seems to me that there are few things right now that are more important to patriotism than working on energy efficiency and energy issues. And it seems to me like the arguments made this morning are probably typical of why South Dakota is in an embarrassing 47th position on this. Certainly, there are imperfections in the proposal. There's imperfections in the existing law. In fact, that's true of any volume of the code you pull off the shelf. But it's at least a start, and I think we ought to move in that direction.
We have a motion. We have a second. Is there additional discussion? Motion, second. Additional discussion? Seeing none, ask the Secretary to call the roll.
Senator Abdallah?
No.
Heideprim? Knudsen?
No.
Olson?
No.
Roden? Trebek Berry?
Aye.
Gray?
Aye.
Dempster?
Aye.
It's two.
We have six ayes, two noes. Motion carries. Senate Bill 64. Senate Bill 64. Do we have proponents of Senate Bill 64?
Again, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Dusty Johnson, Chairman of the Public Utilities Commission. Our state has no mandatory building codes, as other states do. Rather than take that path, this bill again seeks to provide consumers with better information on the home that they are buying or building. It asks builders to provide three types of information. First, whether or not the home meets the 2006 International Energy Conservation Code. As we talked about, that code is the most widely adopted and respected, used by the states. And of course, I do want to point out that standard will be voluntary. People can still buy or build whatever home they want. They just need to know how it matches up against the standards. Second, it asks for information on insulation and window values, information that builders have told us will be easy to provide. Buyers will again be able to compare what the values that house has with the widely accepted standards. Finally, the bill asks for information on whether the equipment has been Energy Star certified. I do think providing this information will help consumers make better decisions, and just as importantly, help good builders get better value, better price for their quality construction. Thanks, and I'll stand by for questions.
Senate Bill 64, do we have proponents?
Chair. Good morning, members of the committee. My name is Darla Pullman Rogers. I'm a registered lobbyist for South Dakota Rural Electric Association. Thank you. SDREA has over 30 member cooperatives. We are located across the state of South Dakota, and of course we are retail energy sellers to consumers in South Dakota. I would advise the committee that SDREA supports Senate Bill 64. Our member companies, of course, are in the business of providing energy to consumers in South Dakota, and we believe it is important to encourage and promote energy efficiency. And this would be in building projects and elsewhere. And one way that our co-ops can promote energy efficiency is through promotion of efficiency in building and the adoption of the International Energy Conservation Code, or the IECC. We have a process within our association whereby we have a legislative committee that provides direction on what types of legislation we will promote as an association. This past year, we were instructed as staff of SDREA and legal counsel to look at adoption of the IECC. So in conformance with that, I did take a look at